I'd appreciate your prayers this morning that the Lord would give us what he has for us. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about this subject this morning. I wrote on the board, "Lovest thou me?" And I was thinking about the story over in John 21 and 3 where Peter goes fishing. We're all quite familiar with that story. And it says here, "Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." You know, this little story, the children know it so well. Peter and some of the other disciples went fishing, and the little song says they fished all night and caught no fishes. And then along comes somebody on the shore, and they didn't know who it was at first. And he said, "Cast your nets on the other side, and cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find." And of course, they cast their nets on the right side of the ship, and it loaded them down so much so that it said their ship started sinking. They were not able to draw it in for the multitude. And so we see how that they started coming toward shore, and somebody said, "It's the Lord." And they didn't recognize that. But somebody realized, "It's the Lord." And that really ignited Simon Peter. He just jumps overboard and heads up there. He wants to see the Lord. The Lord had been crucified, but he had risen. And the Lord had come back, and he was meddling in their lives, and they didn't know it. They didn't have a clue that the reason they caught nothing all night long was because of the Lord. And then all of a sudden they were loaded down, and it says they had 153 when they finished. And so, you know, Simon Peter was a fisher. I'm guessing when he got that boatload of fish, he was pretty happy. He was probably kind of, wow, this is quite a catch. That was something that Peter really related to. He loved, I'm guessing he really liked fishing. It was work, but I'm guessing he had been there a long time, I suppose. And we find this little scenario happening. And the Lord set all that up because he really wanted to talk to Peter. And so he meddled in Peter's life, and Peter didn't have a clue. This is the Lord. This is not circumstances or just what happened. This is the Lord that did this. And so in verse 15, I want to read some of the story, John 21 and 15. Let's read down through maybe 22. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs." You know, the Lord didn't tell everybody that. Although he wants all of us to feed others and to help others. But he had something real special for Simon Peter here. And he had a special call for him. And Peter had been going around with the Lord. And when the Lord asked him that, he said, "Yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he did. I believe Peter, with all his heart, he loved the Lord. You know, he also loved fishing. And there was some things about his fishing that probably made him feel more secure than this thing of running around with the Lord and preaching to people and people getting killed, the Lord getting crucified. And, it was quite a little story there that had happened. And Peter was kind of disillusioned at this point. And the Lord set all this up because he wanted Peter to come to another place. He wanted Peter to come to a place. "Now, Peter, I'm leaving." And this is not what he said here, But Peter, I'm leaving, but I have something for you to do. Do you know that many times the circumstances of our life, the Lord sets them up. He lines them up, and we don't know that. And really, He longs to impart some things to us. And so, in some really unusual circumstances here, the Lord just caused this. They caught nothing, and then all of a sudden they put their net on the right side of the boat, and they catch so much that they could hardly get them in. Peter, do you love me more than these? Yeah, Lord, of course I do. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time. This is getting kind of extreme, isn't it? I mean, either he did or he didn't. And the Lord knew it already. But he asked him again, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee. Now think about it. He told him this. He said, when you get old, Peter, there's going to be another, and they're going to stretch forth your hands. And they're going to gird you and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Now, who was that? John kind of felt a real special connection. He didn't mention his own name here, but he said he was the one Jesus loved. And so, I hope we can all feel that way sometimes. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, let's see. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, I want us to all let that soak into our hearts this morning. Jesus told Peter, he was kind of concerned about John. Okay, you're telling me that I need to go feed your sheep and leave this fishing behind. But what about John? Folks, I want us to think about something this morning. The Lord wants to talk to you and me. And He doesn't want us to throw it off on anybody else. He wants us to hear His voice today. Do we love Him more than these? Do we love Him more than... I'm supposing that Peter's fishing business, this business when the Lord went away and was crucified and was put in the tomb, he felt a little insecure, I'm quite sure. He felt a whole lot confused and all of those things. But we see here, maybe this was his security blanket. Maybe this was his enjoyment. He probably loved fishing. You know what? He probably loved fishing more than he did talking to people about things they didn't want to hear sometimes. And, you know, he was in his comfort zone too here. He knew how to fish. And the Lord was calling him away from that to a whole nother thing. He wanted him to leave that comfort zone, and he wanted him to follow him. He had a special work for Peter. And this morning, I just want us to think about those things a little bit. And Clark said of this verse 18, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands. Wettstein observes that it was a custom at Rome to put the necks of those who were to be crucified into a yoke, and to stretch out their hands and fasten them to the end of it. And having thus led them through the city, they were carried out to be crucified. Thus, when Peter, then Peter was girded, chained, and carried whither he would not. Not that he would was unwilling to die for Christ, but he was a man. He did not love death, but he loved his life less than he loved his God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Not necessarily about leaving all and going and preaching the gospel, unless that's what the Lord talks to you about. But about whatever it is, that we love that less than we love our God. I mean, that we love that less than we love our God. That we love the Lord more than those things that would hinder us. The Lord saw Peter's future, and he saw what he wanted Peter to do. And aren't you glad Peter obeyed? Don't you think Peter's glad he obeyed? Don't you think Peter's glad life was rich and full? In spite of the fact that he had to preach to people sometimes that didn't want to hear it. In spite of the fact that he was crucified at the end, as the best history that we have, that he asked, no, let me be crucified upside down. I'm not worthy to be crucified like Christ was. Just let me be crucified upside down. Well, you know, I believe Peter probably thought about this whole account many, many, many times through his life. And we find him giving up all and following the Lord. You know, I think about the things that would hinder us and how the Lord would speak to you and me, and he would say, do you love me more than that thing? You know, there's so many things in life that come up that we all have to decide ourselves. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And I am willing. I'm willing to leave it all and follow you. I believe the Lord has good things for his people. I think when he makes us a trade, his is so, so much better than what we gave him. Peter, can you imagine his fishing life? Can you imagine, out there working hard every day, mending the nets and being up late and early and all of those things, and then cleaning fish and trying to sell fish. Can you imagine trading that life for what Peter experienced after that? Can you imagine what the Lord wanted to do in Peter's life? Peter could have never known that people were trying to get in his very shadow to be healed. You know, the Lord had work for Peter to do that was beyond Peter's comprehension. I just want to challenge us today. I want to tell you something. God has some good things for us to trade in our little bit of nothing for. And let's don't forget that. God has some very good things. There's things that can hinder us. And Peter could have held on to his livelihood and his security blanket. And that's all he'd ever had was that little livelihood and little security blanket, probably. He'd have just been an ignorant man. But Peter had been walking with the Lord, and he knew there was something so much better. Do you know this morning, there's things that can hinder us. And I want to challenge us today to love the Lord more than those things that would hinder us. I've found that the trade is 100 times better. It's 100 times better, the trade is. I remember, I've had dealings with a lot of people in my life on different levels, business and church and preaching and counseling and all those things. And you know, I have found that there are excuses of all kinds. And it's quite amazing, actually. Remember a neighbor of ours that we talked to, and this man was like 70s to 80, somewhere around in there at the time. And we began to, he wanted to pray and get saved. He saw something he wanted. He had started coming to church. He had been looking for something good. But you know, when it came down to praying to get saved, he came across a little hiccup that he had to forgive everybody. And he looked at me and he said, you mean I've got to forgive? called them the Japs, the Japanese. He had been in World War II. He had experienced, I suppose, probably those he knew that were maybe killed. He had experienced the front. He knew what these things were about. And he hated those people. He said, I'll never do that. You know, I don't know if that man ever got right and made it to heaven, but I would hate to think a man at 80 years old would trade hatred for the great love of God in his soul. I would hate to think that he would trade that, but he did. And I don't know if he ever really made it or not. I don't know. I think he knew enough to make it. I think he got enough knowledge. He got enough understanding. I hope he did. He prayed at different times. But in his little mind, he was a smart man. He owned a big business at one time and sold it for a lot of money. But in his mind, he said, I've never been bad. I've never... And yet, his family says something so different from that. I want to read over here in Luke 7 and 37. A little incident that happened with Jesus there. Luke 7 and 37. This is a little bit of reading. And behold, a man in the city which was a sinner... Oh, I'm sorry. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet. With tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven thee. Do you know this morning, who of us here can say we were never a sinner? Who of us here can say we didn't have anything to come to the Lord with? And yet the Lord frankly forgave us, didn't he? He frankly forgave all of us here that came to him. He just forgave us. He forgave us. He just put it behind him. Never to mention it again to us. Do you know what? That's what the Lord did this morning. And I think today about how easy it is for us to let some little something keep us from heaven. To let some little something like this man I told you about, to love it more than the Lord. I want to read first about a rich young ruler. I've found there's several things that keep people out of heaven seem like the most. One of them is things, riches, things people love more than the Lord, things they desire, goals they want to attain to. Luke 18 and 18 is another I'm going to read you just a few stories here this morning, and maybe the Lord will give us a little something to think about. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, thy mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." I want to share that with you this morning. I want to tell you something today. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. You know, the Lord saw this young man. He saw the cost of the things that he loved. Folks, we set our hearts on things that we love. And we decide we like those things. I believe Peter liked his fishing. I'm guessing he enjoyed that. And we can set our heart, and it seems to us here, fishing. He would set his heart on fishing and maybe deny the Lord his call. Maybe so. He could have, but Peter didn't, thankfully. You know what this morning? I don't know what's in your life, but I know that riches and things, not just riches, but things, has kept a lot of people. Bright lights, parties, the world's dress, little things, big things in our mind, little things people will trade for eternal life. Little things people will trade for God in their soul. And I look at it with wonder. And I have to say, Lord, have mercy. Would somebody really trade that for eternal life? Oh, yes, they will. But folks, we are in charge of this heart. God set us as the keeper of our heart. And do we love the Lord? You know what? What we set our affection on and what we set our love on is what we're going to love. It's up to us. It really is. It's not just something that we can't help. We can help it. We can set our affection on the Lord. And we can love Him above all the other things of life, if we will. Because all things are possible with God. That's why we can do that. And if we want it bad enough, I want to tell you something. You want to go to heaven bad enough, and you want to do, and you love the Lord. You know what? We've all been around the Lord enough to know He's good. We've all been around Him enough to know this is awesome. What God really has is awesome. Yes, it is. The devil will try to tell us, as he did Eve and Adam. Oh, but you could be wise. Your eyes are not opened yet, you see. And all of these things. But then, what a trick that was. What a wretched thing. So this morning, I just want to ask you, do you love the Lord more than whatever it is? This rich young ruler, he went away very sorrowful because he knew he wanted to love the Lord. But you know what? It's like the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Because Peter, I'm telling you, you're going to have to come away from that. He told this young rich ruler, he didn't tell everybody to leave their riches. He told this one to leave his riches. And you know what? When the Lord starts talking to you and me, there's some things that He wants to talk to us specifically about. And He'll arrange circumstances in our life where we come face to face with the Lord. And we recognize it's the Lord. And He's wanting to talk to me. I want to look at another thing. Because what I found is riches and things, and right up there with it is unforgiving spirits. I want to tell you something. We'll never make it to heaven without a heart full of complete love. I'm telling you, the Lord wants us to have that in our life. And I want to read a little story of that one as well. And here's Peter again. It seems like he's always in the middle of things. Matthew 18 and 21. Matthew 18 and 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He just kind of blew him away. You mean, Lord, how often do I have to forgive this one? Seven times, or all the time, basically? Oh, no, not seven times. 70 times seven. You know, that's pretty big, isn't it? And the Lord just told him, that's what's going to have to do, Peter. Now, listen to what the Lord says in this parable, or this little reading here. Therefore is the king... Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Folks, that was a lot. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, now this man didn't have anything to pay, just like you and I didn't when we came to the Lord. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt, every bit of it. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He had done something to him. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into the prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredst me. I got a hold of that. Because you wanted me to. I just flat out forgave everything. Because you wanted me to. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. He had it due. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Folks, people are going to trespass against us. And the commandment from the Lord is that we forgive them from the heart. When we get to heaven's door, we're going to have a heart that has no bondage of unforgiveness, hatred, ill will, all those things that are encapsulated in that. I want to tell you, he says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. See, he delivered that one to the tormentors. If ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Folks, there is nothing like a heart that is free and light and has nothing against anyone. Nothing. Nothing like that. We're going to a heaven where it's going to be like that. There isn't going to be 1 ounce of unforgiveness there. Folks, do you love the Lord? Lovest thou me more than this? Than these? Than all these things? Do you love me more than that? Folks, I want to tell you something this morning. Oh, how the Lord... He's laid up for us. He said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you, a mansion. And he said, I'm going to come again for you. But I want to tell you something. If we love the things of this life, if we love the loves of this life. Some people love hatred. Some people love things. Some people love finery. Some people love money. Some people love, you could list 1,000 things. They love the world, the glamour of all that goes on in the world and all the big games and all those things. And it's their life. And folks, the Lord's coming back. And He wants a people that loves Him more than all these. Much more. And I want to tell you, He wants to fill our lives with His love and with His Spirit and with His goodness and with His fullness until He, like when He talked to Peter, He can say, feed my sheep. You know what? The Lord has some sheep for you and me all to feed, doesn't He? He may not have every one of us preaching from the pulpit, but He's got work for you and I to do. And I want to tell you something. It's an awesome thing because not everybody rejects it. Some people love it. And you know what? When one life is changed, when one person begins to see those glamorous, glorious things of the Lord, how a heart can be free, how a life can be free. Do you know what joy that is? There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. And can we not turn aside from the things that we love and hear the Lord say, feed my sheep? Can we not turn aside and hear the Lord say whatever it is He wants to say to you and me? I believe He loves those things. We have plenty of accounts of those that forsook the Lord, we find. But you know what? There was quite a few that didn't. And they gave themselves. They gave their lives to God. And I want to tell you something. It is a beautiful picture. And I mean that. I believe that. I'll read just a couple other places here. In Luke 14, you see, the Lord is great. He is the great King of earth and heaven and all things. And He doesn't share His glory. And He won't share it with us or anybody else. And He will not share His love. He will not let our heart be divided and love Him less than other things. And so He tells us very plainly, Luke 14 and 33, He comes right to the point. He says, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath. Folks, the things that we would have our arms around, our hands gripping, are things that we've got, things that we have to have. He said, whosoever of you be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on to tell about the salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know what? Our salt should be salty. Our salt should be that thing, those things that are all out the Lord's way of doing things. An humble and a godly spirit that loves the things of the Lord more than our loves. That we put away our loves. That we lay them down. That we put them behind us. That we make clear choices. I'm taking the Lord's way all the way. I will not walk halfway on this way. I will go all the way God's way. And you know what? When we do that, then our salt is salty. Makes things taste good. It preserves things. It's valuable. In fact, when Jesus said this, He was really speaking a whole different language than we know. Because salt at this time was very costly. Very costly. They say there was even a time in history that salt was the price of gold. Now, I wasn't there, but that's what they say. Do you know this morning? That's what I've heard. I'll say it that way. You know, this morning the Lord wants you and I to make it to heaven. And He wants our life to be enriched by Himself. And it comes at the death of ourself, but the life of all that God has to offer. And folks, who will believe our report? Some will. and some will not. I hope we all take that. I hope we all accept in our hearts this morning, Lord, I'll go your way all the way. I want to read one more passage over in Luke 8. And we see here a little parable that we've heard so many times. And I love this parable every time I hear it. Luke 8, starting at 5, Jesus had much people about him and he was ready to speak to them. And he said, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. Fowls sometimes are related to his spirits in the Bible terms. And so we find something happened. Some just fell by the wayside. An old evil spirit, old Satan, that one that spoke to Eve that came. And she loved the Lord, but she also wanted something else more than the commandments of the Lord. And so he talked her into that and she left her love. And here we find that some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He cried this. He it sounds to me like he yelled this out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what I'm saying here. You know what he was saying? All of us have ground. It's called our heart. And how we do and what we do with that is up to you and me. We can have the kind of ground that the seed just falls on, but it never takes any root. And some spirit of the enemy will come along and take that away pretty soon, and we'll be out there wondering what happened. And some will let it grow for a little bit, and then there's something, I can't do this. And the word, the water of the word, don't go down and water that thing and cause it to grow. Do you know this morning? Oh, but and some let it grow and they become profitable, but they also let a lot of other things grow and it just takes control of their life and it squeezes it out where they can't prosper, and it eventually will take their life. And then there are those that takes the seed into their life and they begin to grow and they begin to prosper and they begin to bring fruit. Because they take care of that heart they have. They take care of that ground. And they don't just let it, whatever happens, happens. Folks, you think Satan's not going to come to you and me and try to tear us down? Of course he will. But listen, we're going to have to take care of this heart. There are those that did. And I'll read on now what Jesus said about that. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries. Well, I'll drop on down. Now the parable is this, verse 11. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And so they don't ever even get saved. But they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now you and I are both going to suffer those times of temptation. And the scriptures tell us, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he has tried, what's it say? He's going to receive, isn't he? He's going to receive a crown of life. And it goes on to say here, these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Now that's something we can take care of, folks. We can determine early in our life, I will never let things become more to me than God. God will be at the center of everything. And everything else is going to be in its place. You know, that's a decision we have to make. Otherwise, Satan will be sure to come along and try to crowd into our life until we cannot prosper. And many have been there and done that. But listen to this. And are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest, facing it for what it is, and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Folks, I long to see in every one of our lives here, us bringing forth fruit with patience. You read John the 15th chapter. Read it for your devotion sometime. John 15 and 1. And it starts talking about the vine and the relationship the Lord wants to build with us. When we don't let riches or things or whatever it is or pleasures or whatever choke it out. And we begin to grow and prosper and bring forth fruit and bring forth those things that are good. Folks, it happens naturally. But we have to take care of our soil of our heart. And we have to make sure that we provide the Lord a willing, an humble, a godly, a pure heart that He has cleansed Himself. That's what we provide to Him. And He helps us. He cleanses us. He changes us. We present ourselves to Him. Lord, I want You to take my body. I want You to take my life. I'll give up my ways. I consecrate myself to You. And I want to tell you what. He wants to dwell in you and me. He wants to dwell by the Holy Spirit in our heart and life. In a very real way. He wants to guide us. He wants to be that guide. So that we're not guided by our own false judgments and thoughts. The Lord wants to do that. But it comes by you and me taking care of our soil, yielding that to the Lord and allowing Him to have that. I know that not everybody will probably believe that report. But folks, who has believed our report? I hope it's you. I hope every one of us here make heaven our home. And if I can help you, you're going to make heaven your home. Y'all pray for me.